Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's News Talk Leader.
It is Monday. How was your weekend? Good morning, everybody. I'm Andy Griffin. This is the Andy Griffin Show on Monday, the third day of March. Yes, thank you for all the birthday wishes. I got a lot of texts and stuff and people wishing me a happy birthday. It was a weird day. I actually had a little trip to the hospital on Friday night, and I actually celebrated my birthday in the emergency room. Mello's here, by the way, too. Hi, Mello.
Good morning.
The good news is it doesn't look like there's anything permanent to worry about or whatever. But and I did get some barbecue on barbecue brisket, high voltage on my birthday, which really was my number one goal, to get some brisket.
That sounds amazing. So.
And I have a lot of pride in my brisket. I make, I think, very good brisket. Very good brisket. But Kate over at High Voltage makes better brisket. And that's hard for someone that has a lot of pride in what they do and you know, in something they feel like they're skilled at. That's a hard to go, his is better. But it is. It's so good.
Oh my gosh, I think anything tastes better if you don't have to make it yourself. Do the dishes.
That's true. Smoking is fun, though. And I did smoke some drumsticks yesterday for the little family gathering. Those were good, too. So, had a nice birthday, played some pickleball, watched a movie and stuff. And last, I was going to ask you about this. Last night was the Academy Awards. Not a fan. Usually they pick, you know, the top five finalists in the movies. Maybe I've seen one of them and it's a token. We got to throw that in because everybody liked it one. And then they name some movie I never heard of as the winner. Well, guess what happened last night, Mello?
What?
They named some movie I'd never heard of as the winner. What are the odds, right?
Oh, yeah.
So they were on, and my wife and I was like, you want to watch that? She's like, not really. I'm like, yeah, me neither. And we watched a movie. We watched the CGI animal, not cartoon, but the CGI version of Lion King, and it was actually pretty good.
I enjoyed that. Yeah. I saw that in the theaters. It was really good.
Yeah, all the animals. That I thought 95% of the animals looked very realistic. But there were a couple I was like,
you know. Yeah, I liked the backstory. It was kind of interesting to think about, like the brothers, you know?
Scar, I hate that guy.
Just misunderstood.
No, he's not. He's evil.
I don't know about that.
Yeah,
just evil. Jealous.
He killed Mufasa. What do you mean? He killed Mufasa and took the thing over and let the hyenas eat all the food.
It was bad.
You're so nice. You're trying to be nice. How was your weekend?
It was kind of sad. I have a cousin. She's been on the show with me here before, Jamie Egbert.
Yeah, she passed away.
Yeah,
very sad.
Unexpectedly. And so it was her service on Saturday. So I went and helped out with that. And I was glad I got to be a part of that and be there to help and support the family.
She was not old. I mean, you think, she was 60, 70 years. No. She was like in her 40s.
She was 46. Yeah. Her birthday would have been on the 5th of March. So
really,
she was almost 47.
Oh. Yeah. Does she have family, kids and stuff?
Yeah, so she has four children. Her youngest is 16.
Yeah,
so her ex-husband lives in town, so he's going to go live with his dad, and everything's going to shift for their family, and it's going to be hard. She was an amazing person, and we're so grateful that she was in our life.
And we think it was a heart attack, or
she did have a heart issue, but she had been seeing her cardiologist. She was under the care of her cardiologist, and she was driving. She was driving from the Parade of Homes. So it was the Sunday before last.
She's a realtor.
She's a real estate agent and a broker. She's our broker. And she was driving, and she felt like she was feeling a little dizzy. So she's like, "I'm going to pull over." And her boyfriend and her daughter were in the car. And she pulled over, and then he went ahead and she started seizing a little bit. So he got out and, like, put the car in park and started doing CPR on her. The ambulance was there within 2 minutes, and they were working on her for about 35 minutes, and they couldn't get her back.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, very sad. I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
I had a chance to meet her a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Seemed like a really delightful person.
Yeah. So smart. So smart. We're really going to miss her.
Yeah. Tell me your name again.
Jamie.
Jamie Egbert.
Egbert.
Mm-hmm. Right. Got it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, for those of you that knew Jamie, I said, I'm sorry for your loss. Mm-hmm. I would be remiss in saying I was friends with her or anything. Mm-hmm. I met her twice, mm-hmm. so I don't think that qualifies as a friend. But she seemed like a very delightful person. Mm-hmm.
She was so fun.
So, and she was your cousin?
Yeah. So our dads were brothers.
Oh.
Yeah. So she was.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Yeah. That's pretty. Did you? Of course. I don't know. Where did you? Did you grow up close to her? Like
we
were
in different states. Or? No. Oh, okay. And she was more close with my little sister. But then when I was in real estate, she was in real estate. And so we kind of went through that together and we were in the same office. So we worked together every day. We went to lunch every other week. She was our broker. She was a very integral part of my life.
Sometimes I get thinking about, it's morbid, thinking about death though. And, mm-hmm. you know, we have some people in our neighborhood and the husband and wife saved all their money and they built their dream home.
Mm.
And he retired and they lived in their dream home together for about 3 months.
Oh, so
and then
sad.
He died.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you know, and now that I'm getting up there in years, everybody say, well, he died at, you know, he was 63 or whatever he was. Well, he died an old man. He had a good life. Well, that's actually not that old.
You're like,
man.
I'm almost there. Stop.
Yeah. I don't want to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I just think about that. I think, you know, we slave our whole lives so that we can have money to do stuff when we retire. And then we are either A, we die, mm-hmm. or B, we're maybe too tired to do some of that stuff. So.
Yeah, no, it's so true. And like with my mom and dad, he worked a long time. He was in real estate too. And he was finally retiring and getting things situated. And then my mom passed away a month before he retired. So you never know when the last time you're going to see somebody is.
Yeah.
So I'm a lot more conscious of that with the recent deaths in my life.
Mm.
I've had a lot of deaths in the last 5 years. So you just always put your best foot forward and let people know that you love them.
Hug them tight.
Hug them
Absolutely.
Tight.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And let them know that you care about them and think about people first because that's really what matters, not the things.
Yeah, good point. All right, let's talk a little bit about... well, how do I put this delicately? The F word, bad words that have crept into our language. I know, mm-hmm. sorry about that, but there's a great story online by Jeff Minnick on the website Intellectual Takeout. It says the title of the article, show some class, cut the crass, right?
Yes.
And he said it's amazing that how quickly words like the F word have crept into our language as if it's just another word,
right?
And, you know, to me, this kind of, I like the word that he started with, class. To me, it's a lack of class if you have to drop that word in all the time. He said the other day, a headline on a Substack that he was reading said, give us back our blanking money. You can fill in the blank if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he was kind of like shocked because this was one of the Substack is opinion mm-hmm. sites or whatever. He said he was one he follows and he couldn't believe he saw that word. Said the same day on Breitbart, which is a major news outlet, Kyle Busch threatens opposing driver, I'm going to wreck his A blank blank. And then Dan Bongino being mm-hmm. Appointed to the FBI. They published a F-word-laced story that he had written about the raid on Donald Trump's Mar-a-Lago. And then another one, Megyn Kelly said, I blanking love swearing. It's just everywhere. You mentioned on X.
Yeah, I've been on X a lot. And and you can't really even filter for it. Like, you can, like, switch past it when they come up, but you can't filter through it. It's written, too. So you can't, like, you can go and read them, but that still reads the word. And I have one daughter who joined the military. She was in the Navy. And when they say curse like a sailor, it's not a joke. Like, everybody on the ship swears like that. And now she's out, and she still speaks like that. And I'm like, oh my gosh, she's 30.
30.
And they just use those words like in the public forum, like it's a regular word, like dang or heck. And it's not. It like makes you like step back a little bit.
I had a colleague here, this was maybe 5 years ago, who in his everyday life. Now, we obviously, you can't say that word on the radio. That's the FCC will fine you. You could get in a lot of trouble, et cetera, et cetera. But I had a colleague here who, in his everyday language, when he's talking to people, he used the F word every sentence. I mean, it was part of how he talked. And then we'd flip the mics on, and he wouldn't use it anymore.
Oh, really?
And I was like, I actually asked him one time, I said, how can you do that, use that word all the time, but when the mic goes on, you don't use it? He goes, it's just second nature. Well, that very same day, on a live broadcast, he slipped one in accidentally.
You jinxed
on
him.
The air. And I actually had told him, I said, the thing, I mean, I'm not saying you can't do that, filter yourself, edit yourself, but all I'm saying is you're going to slip one of these days. And he's like, oh, no, I won't. But he did.
Wow.
He did, yeah.
So did he lose his job?
No, because he brought in a lot more money. He was a dual salesman and broadcaster. He brought in a lot more money than he would ever lose saying that. But he did get, you know, reprimanded and talked to and everything. And don't do that again. And, oh, I won't. It was an accident. You know, that kind of thing.
Wow. So, that's scary.
Yeah, I just am amazed that that word has become so. It used to be a sign, in my opinion, of low intelligence if you let curse words, especially that one, but let curse words into your life. And I remember when I was a young man, just off of my mission, I got a job at a place, an industrial parts place, and everybody there said this word. And I actually stopped a couple of guys and said, listen, there are two things. Don't use that F word and don't use the Lord's name in vain. If you could stop doing those around me, and they kind of looked at me like, what a nerd, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But they did it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Mello, have you ever felt the need to stop someone and say, don't talk that way around me? Or
when I was in high school, I did, and people wouldn't swear around me. But as I've gotten older, I've decided that just let them. Like, if that's how they're going to talk, that is more of a representation of them than me. And it's not my place to judge. So I will let it go. Like, those aren't people that I have around me all the time anyway.
Yeah.
So if that's the language and that's how they express themselves, then I will just let it go, let them. But I'm not gonna engage. I have a lot of like fake swears, and I probably should not do that because my son told me, he's like, Mom, what's really the difference if you're saying that? I'm like, oh, dang it, what is the difference? I don't know.
Oh, you just did it. Dang it.
Dang it. Right. Yeah. Right.
I like to use the word damage.
I do like the. Yeah, I like damage.
Instead of swearing, I say damage. And like you said, what's the difference?
Yeah.
Well, so here's some numbers for you. In 2024, so just last year, they did an analysis of 1.7 million English language tweets. And guess what country in the entire world was number one? And it was not close, by the way. Yeah,
the
United States. Yeah. Yes, we are number one. In,
right. I think Europe has some more fun words for bad words.
Yeah, that's true. Let's see. This is mental floss. Letting curse words fly has been linked to everything from intelligence and honesty to an increase in our ability to tolerate pain. Huh?
Hmm.
If obscene language is acceptable, why do so many editors and bloggers still use the Grolix? Grolix are, you know, instead of a swear word, you put maybe the first initial and then you put asterisk, percent sign, exclamation point, etc. And that's a good question, but what happened to that final quote I had? Anyway, basically, the author, his name is Jeff Minnick, and I still both agree that if you cannot find an appropriate word to emphasize what you're saying, and you have to throw that word in there in its place, then I believe it is a sign of lack of intelligence.
Right. You need to improve your argument, right?
Yeah.
But I'm not going to say I've never said a bad word in my life.
Right.
And when I'm angry, more bad words fly than they should.
but
I feel like that's like a warning. Like it's like danger. Like she's really mad.
Yeah. So how do you feel about, we were talking movies earlier and then now the F word. How do you feel about when they throw those obligatory words in during a movie?
During a movie? I guess it depends on the character. Like, are they building the character or are they just trying to get the rating?
I heard, and somebody maybe can confirm or deny this, I had heard that the threshold between a PG-13 and an R movie is 4. You can say the F word 4 times and have it still be PG-13.
Really?
If you say it a fifth time or more, it becomes an R movie.
So whose job is it to count those?
Oh, they have, you know, they have all the whole rating people and everything. And supposedly a nudity. You can show as many butts as you want, but if you show anything else.
Really?
Besides butts, in nudity-wise, then it becomes an R movie.
Hmm.
So, I don't know. I'm not comfortable with any of it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason I don't love movies, and that's part of the reason is they tend to throw in stuff that, like this was a great movie going on, great movie, and then there's the one scene or
right.
the one character who, you know, and it's like, why?
Right.
This is a great movie without this.
Yeah, I feel like there's so many movies now that have agendas. So I don't love to go to the movies as much unless real, like one I really want to see. I don't just go to the movies to go to the movies.
So my wife and I have earned enough points to go see a movie for free, the two of us. We've had that for now 3.5 or 4 months.
Mm.
We haven't found a movie that we really want to see. Isn't that sad? Like every week we're like, hey, we should go see a movie today.
I did go watch with my son and my husband the new Marvel movie with Harrison Ford in it.
Oh, Harrison Ford's in a Marvel movie?
Yeah, he's the Red Hulk.
What?
Yeah.
The Red Hulk?
Yep, it's a new thing.
Like the Hulk?
Like he's a Hulk, but he's red.
Really?
Yeah.
So there's a whole species of Hulks out there that are different colors?
No, I'm not going to give it away.
Come on, just give me some hints.
Anyway. So he gets gamma'd, but unbeknownst to him.
He would be the non-mad version.
No, the red is in showing you his anger. So yeah, he's mad.
But he doesn't, when he gets big and giant like Lou Ferrigno, does he stay Harrison Ford? Or?
Yeah, you can tell it's Harrison Ford on the face, right? So it's Harrison Ford.
But they put a muscle suit on him or something?
No, it's like CGI. He's big and huge. He's like the big, big Hulk.
Really?
Uh-huh.
That is kind of
weird. See, now you guys can go watch it.
We're not going to watch it. My wife hates superhero movies, by
the
way.
Oh, really?
Just for the record. Yeah. I believe every superhero movie I've ever seen, after Superman from the 80s, you know, mm-hmm. Christopher Reeve, every movie, super movie hero since then, I've either watched it by myself on cable, or I think I even went to the theater once with my daughter. We went to a superhero because my wife just can't stand those. She's like, they're all flash and new substance. she prefers movies that have a deep, thick, exciting plot.
Okay.
So, but I think some of the superhero movies do too. It's just, I guess it's hard to believe, you know, that someone could have those kinds of powers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So. I don't know. Nowadays, there's lots of things that could happen.
Okay. One more quote from this Jeff Minnick guy about cussing. He said, my goal is to have a show. Oh, this is from Jennifer Kearns, rather. Remember Jennifer Kearns? Yeah, she talk show host. Anyway, she said, my goal is to have a show that moms can listen to as they drive their kids to school. Therefore, it's got to be clean. We have conservatives, families, and religious audiences tuning in. I feel a higher calling in my career to live up to Christian standards.
Mm.
It's easy not to curse on the air. It just takes some creativity and an impeccable vocabulary.
That's true.
And to add on to that, we've had, this station, we tend to get, not as much anymore, but we used to get a lot of erectile dysfunction commercials on our station. I got calls and texts from people saying, hey, I was driving my kids home from school. Your station played a commercial about, you know, X. I was a little embarrassed, but I didn't really know what to tell them. And you know, our station is going to, you know, if they pay money, if it's not technically vulgar or blatantly sexual, we're going to play the commercials because they paid to be on the air, right?
Right. Another cool thing that I've noticed are the clean comedians. Like, I love Nate.
What do they call it? Dry bar comedy?
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Dry bar comedy where they don't, you don't tell, there's no what they call blue comedy, the dirty jokes. Right?
Oh, okay. But yeah. Nate Bargatze, if you haven't heard of him,
he's
hilarious.
Yeah.
Jim Gaffigan is really funny. Those are the two that I really like.
So, quick story about that. So, we went on a cruise. This was a few years ago. And it's interesting. They had two comedians and they alternated nights, right? And so we went to the early show, and it was, I say early, but it was like 7. It wasn't early. We went to the show and on the first night, and the guy was really funny, like just hilarious. And we're like, all right, he's got another show tonight because he does a show at 7 and a show at like 10.
Oh.
And so we're like, we're going to go to this guy's show again because he was really funny. Not realizing that the later show was meant for adults only.
Oh.
And so we went, this exact same comedian, we went to his later show and it was awful. It was, and when I say he was probably still funny, but we were so kind of shocked by his language and the nature of his jokes that we couldn't believe it.
No, I actually had to leave a comedy show once. I went with my son. I was in Colorado Springs and we had gotten these tickets for this comedian and we went and we made it about 5 minutes and I looked over, I'm like, you want to go? He's like, yeah, let's go. And we left.
Good for you. Yeah. Good for you. So the second night we were there, we went to the other comedian. We went to his early show. He wasn't as funny as the first guy, but he was all right. And we decided to try the later show, but we were going to sit right by the door. So if it you know, went off the rails, we were out of there in a hurry. And same thing within the first 5 minutes. Just F words and raunchy jokes, and we got up and left and went over to the piano bar and sang along to, you know, to Barry Manilow music or whatever, Neil Diamond. But, I don't consider myself a prude or, you know, a man who's naive or shaded, sheltered or whatever, but I don't need that in my life. It's not, that kind of thing is not important.
Yeah. So. Yeah. There's a time and place for everything, and that's not anything you want to do.
We're creeping up on a weather break here. If you want to call into the show, the first voice you will hear will be the soothing tones of Melody Finlinson at 673-5890. If you have thoughts on swear words or movies or whatever, 673-5890. You can text me anytime at 435-467-5842. 435-467-5842. We'll get that weather break in and be right back.
All the latest news, weather, traffic, and sports, just like you like them. You're waking up with the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
Welcome back, 934 on KDXU. I'm Andy Griffin. Mello is here as well. Hi, Mello.
Good morning.
Thanks for being part of the show. This is from The Wire today. I like it. We're staying on the topic of movies, and there's a special anniversary coming up.
It will be the first time the Academy has ever focused an exhibition on just one film. On display will be more than 200 original items from the movie, including a costume worn by Roy Scheider.
John.
Plans for the original animatronic shark and one of the prop dorsal fins that was seen out in the water during the film. The exhibit will open on September 14th and run through July of next year at the museum on Wilshire Boulevard. The actual 25-foot-long mechanical shark named Bruce has been featured at the museum since it opened in 2021. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
50th anniversary of the movie Jaws.
The what anniversary?
50th.
What?
It was out before you were born, barely.
Yeah. Wow.
So, I think the first time I saw it was on TV. I don't think I saw it in person or in the movie theater. Maybe, I don't know. It was a long time ago, but...
Yeah,
Jaws. I
do remember seeing E.T. in the theaters when I was a little kid.
I think you're going to need a bigger boat. So that was a famous line from that one. Smile, you son of a... Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like scary movies, so I don't think I've ever watched it. I do know the music,
You've never
though.
Saw Jaws?
I don't think I've watched it. I get so scared.
Okay, hold on. Before I ridicule you too much, you mentioned E.T. Guess what I've never seen.
You've never seen E.T.?
I've never seen E.T.
I have it on DVD if you want to borrow it.
In fact, somebody posted online that, admit it, you cried when E.T. was dying or something. I'm like, wait, what? E.T. dies? What?
The spoiler does not count at this minute.
No, if the movie's 40 years old, that doesn't, 45 years old, that doesn't count. But
is it 45 years old? Don't say that.
Well, if you went as a little girl.
Yeah, I did.
And you are.
The first movie.
A little bit. Older than you were.
Careful. No, I don't care.
I know. I'm
being careful. How old I am.
I'm being careful.
I'm in my 50th year, but I'm not there yet.
So, yeah, Jaws. Jaws is having a birthday, and I don't know. Did it... I think for a little while it changed the way Americans thought about going in the ocean.
Right.
Even though the chance of getting bit by a shark are incredibly low.
No, I don't think that's true.
It is true.
No, used to be true 50 years ago. I think your chances are greater now of being bit by a shark than it was.
The chance of you dying from a shark bite are smaller than the chance of you dying by getting mauled by a cow.
Right, but what about being maimed by a shark?
Or a vending machine falling over and killing you. You have greater odds of that than getting killed by a shark.
I don't know if that's true, and I don't have the research
true.
To back
it's
that up.
No, look it up. Kay. It's true. It's 100% true.
There's a lot more sharks in the water now, though.
There aren't more sharks in the water.
There
are more reports about it because we have more media than we've ever had before.
Okay, maybe. Yeah. But I don't know if I completely believe you.
There's a lot of people that believe me. Come on, Mel. Okay. You got to join the...
I don't know. I'm not going to drink the Kool-Aid until I've read the book.
So back in 2020, when everything got shut down, and people were staying home from work or working from home, as they called it, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it was a kind of a race at that time. There were two areas of kind of face-to-face medium. There was Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Zoom's doing all right, right? Mm-hmm. And then there was Skype.
Yes.
And a lot of people had Skype. In fact, I think you said the schools used Skype,
my kids
right?
had Didn't? Skype for school.
So Microsoft announced this morning Skype is shutting down. They will no longer be offering Skype or supporting it as a program.
Well,
talk about, wow. Yes. You know, Skype was almost ubiquitous. It was almost everywhere. It was crazy that... It is crazy that to think that it's gone now. That's it. Mm-hmm. Skype is dead.
Wasn't Skype around before FaceTime? I remember Skype before we had FaceTime.
Yeah. So now you got the only thing left. You've got Zoom.
Mm-hmm.
You've got FaceTime, but that has Apple users only.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have something called Teams, Microsoft Teams, which is kind of why Microsoft shut Skype down, because everybody was using Teams. You can actually go do video through Teams. And I've done it a couple times because my corporation, Town Square Media, uses Teams.
I've also done Google, phone calls.
Oh, yeah.
Video
I guess
phone calls
yeah.
from Messenger.
And you can do it through FaceTime Messenger.
Facebook
Messenger, right?
Mm-hmm.
I have one son. All my kids use Apple iPhones except for the one son and his wife. They have Samsung, and so we talk to them through what you were just saying, mm-hmm. through the Facebook Messenger video.
Right. And there's also another Google one that I can talk to my sister who has an Android. I can't remember what it's called. I think it's Google Meets. Maybe it is.
But I think Zoom far and away won the war, though, because, especially in the business world, mm-hmm. almost everyone does Zoom. I think even my company, we want to do Teams. Everybody Teams, but I think in the end, let's do a Zoom meeting. It's easy.
Yeah, they're so easy. That's how I have a lot of trainings is on Zoom.
Yeah. So anyway, bye-bye Skype. It's a weird word. It was hard to say at first, and now it's gone, so you don't ever have to say it again. Skype.
Skype.
All right. Okay. Here's something about a good story. This is from LouRockwell.com, written by Alan Stevo. It is the title of the story is "Be the Friend with Something Worthy to Say." And I was thinking about being how good a friend are you? I have friends who are, when you talk to them, all they're doing is they're waiting for a prompt for you to stop talking so they can say what's on their mind. Mm. They're not really listening to you. They're just trying to think a story to tell you. I have friends who are the opposite, who just listen and just want to hear what you have to say.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, there's the friend who doesn't want to hear anything at all. I started thinking, okay, what kind of friend am I? And now when I'm in a conversation with people, face to face here in the office or maybe at church or whatever, I'm thinking, what kind of friend am I? And then it goes into the whole being a spouse, right? What mm-hmm. kind of spouse are you?
Mm.
Do you listen to your spouse with the idea that, number one, you're either going to give them counsel or you're going to ignore what they said and get to what you want to talk about for real? Or are you the kind of spouse that actually listens and is concerned, but maybe not judgmental and not...
I think I'm a better friend than I am a spouse.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, I know. Well, I think it's because, me and my husband, pass, ships in the night.
Hmm.
Because I am very busy and he's kind of, holding down the fort a lot of the time. But I do feel like I'm a really good friend, and I feel like...
yeah, you listen well.
Since,
I like it. Yeah.
Since, like, the passing of all the people that I've had, as soon as I get, like, an inkling to call somebody or text somebody, I do it almost
really?
Immediately.
Really?
And there have been many times when I've called and that person needed me to listen, or they needed my advice, or they needed my support. So I really try to be intuitive to that.
I was going to say, do you see that as intuition? Do you see it as some sort of spiritual message?
I feel like, of course it's spiritual, but I also feel like it's a connection I have with those people. Like and as soon as I call somebody, they're like, I was thinking about you, or I was thinking about this, and I can't believe you called. I was looking for the answer for this, so I feel like, and I've had other people call me when I needed them. So it's not just a one-way street. You've got to be that friend to have those friends.
Well, I believe, you know what I believe, that there's definitely a spiritual aspect to that. And I can tell you in my life, there have been times where I've called someone or gone over to their house not knowing why I was doing that. Like, there is no logical reason why I should call, you know, Joe at 7:30 at night on a Thursday. There's no reason I should do that. But you just kind of listen for that little that little prompt, and you do it.
Yeah.
And it's like you said, almost every time they were like, oh, I'm so glad you called. I needed advice, or I needed to talk, or I needed whatever.
Right. But there's been times I haven't done those things, like when I wanted to. And then this happened with another cousin of mine. I had a feeling like I could have gone and seen her. I was just an hour and a half away from her. Or I could just go home, like go back to where I was, because I was on a trip. And I was like, oh, I should just go, but I'm just so tired. I'm just going to go. And then she passed away like in a week and a half. So I'm just like, I'm not going to miss those opportunities. I'm going to do them when they come up, when I have the feeling. So if I have a feeling to text, I'll just voice text in the car. I'm like, text so-and-so. And then I just, hey, I'm just thinking about you. Is there anything you need? And there's people that will now call me because they know that I'm there. Like I like to adopt people that are older.
You adopt people
that need my help that I can.
Am I one of those people? Because you kind of adopted me a little bit.
Well, like older people.
Oh,
like,
older than me.
Because
okay.
I don't have grandparents. I don't
my
have
wife,
those
my
people.
My wife does that too. She's amazing. Yeah.
So there's this lady that I kind of adopted. She was there for me when my sister passed, because I was heading to her house to do an organizing job. And so I got the news as I was driving to her house. So she was the first one that I shared, like, what happened. So we really bonded over that. And I've just kind of kept in touch with her, and she's got some issues with her mobility now. So I just get these feelings to call her, and she's like, oh, I need this from the store. I need some medicine. Can you go get it? And then I'm able to go get it. Or can you give me a ride to this doctor's appointment, because she can't drive? So as you just listen to those things, then you have more opportunity.
You know, we were in the emergency room waiting room. Lady came in, and clearly it was her son and daughter-in-law. And the lady was probably 90 or 80s, and she fell and broke her arm.
Mm.
And, oh, yeah, it was sad. My wife wanted to get up and give her a hug. And I'm like, oh, honey, it would probably hurt if you don't. But it actually, you talk about caring for older people, and it's a new, I say relatively new thing for our generation, yours and my generation. Our parents are going to need us to take care of them. And, it was that way a little bit in the past, but it's getting more and more because we're living longer. And then, unfortunately, some of the mental diseases are overtaking the physical disease. So you'll have someone whose body is fine, but they're getting Alzheimer's or dementia or something like that. And then that's heartbreaking. And some of those are heartbreaking. But it did, as I saw this couple bring in their mom to the emergency room. And, you know, and this was it, you know, late at night, and she'd broken her arm, and she was embarrassed and sad and in pain. And I thought, you know, this is life right here.
It is. Know? It's real life, and it happens. And you want someone to be there for you, too. So if you gotta be that kind of person to have those kind of results.
I told my son, I said, hey, son, someday you get to do what I did for you. You get to change my diaper. And he's like,
no.
I'll just pay somebody dead. Yeah. 9:46, we got to get a break and be right back.
Wake up with the news and information you can trust. This is the Andy Griffin Show on News Radio 890, 92.5 KDXU, Southern Utah's news talk leader.
I'm back. Thanks for tuning in. As many of you know, from Friday, the President of the United States got into a little bit of a spat, I guess would be a good word for it, with the President of Ukraine. So it was also the Vice President, J.D. Vance, Donald Trump, and Volodymyr Zelensky.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. So I did a little search, Mello, on Zelensky Trump reaction. And 5 pages in, there was not one positive post. It was all, I'm talking about posts from the legacy media. And by the legacy media, I mean like ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, CNN, all the biggies. And mm-hmm. every one of them is slamming on Trump and Vance.
They are. They're just
for defending America.
I know. They're looking for anything. Really, they are.
It's amazing to me. So if you hadn't, maybe didn't get to see the video, first of all, I recommend you go watch the video. It's kind of entertaining.
But the whole video.
Basically, the whole video. And that's one of the problems. People watch, the thing that went viral was not the 40-minute video. It was the 40-second clip when things got the most heated. And the thing that Zelensky came in with is he said, well, we want to join NATO. Which is, the NATO, the alliance between the countries that mm-hmm. protects against bad guys. And the problem with Ukraine joining NATO is the NATO pledge. If you're a member of NATO, you pledge to, if anybody in NATO is attacked, the entire whole membership of NATO is pledged to come in defense of that country.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you would have, if Ukraine joined NATO, that means the U.S. and England and France and everybody would have to declare war against Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And that would leave non-NATO countries like China and North Korea, that would leave them with the option of, do I go with the NATO people or do I go with Russia? Well, they're not going to choose the NATO people. They mm-hmm. already made that choice.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to choose Russia. And what we're going to have, Mello, is World War III.
Yeah, I don't want that.
No, nobody wants it. So I don't think Ukraine belongs in NATO. I think that that is a one-way ticket to a very bad outcome in this world.
Okay, so I do have a question about everything, because I was not very political before. I'm not very now, but I'm following it a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I understood that Ukraine gave up their weapons or their nuclear weapons because we were going to protect them if they got rid of them, but then they gave them up and then nobody protected them. Was that true?
Well, there is a little bit.
Okay.
And maybe not quite the way you phrase it, but yes, it is true. They did not, however, give up all their other weapons. So Russia has not turned to any kind of nuclear weapons yet. They haven't even threatened that to Ukraine's face. But so the war as far as weaponry right now is even. If mm-hmm. anything, Ukraine has more advanced weapons because guess where they're getting them?
From us.
Yeah.
Right.
But as far as the nukes... See, even Russia doesn't want that. Nobody wants nuclear war because there's no winners in nuclear war.
No.
If nukes start flying, everyone loses. You and I lose. Mm-hmm. Donald Trump loses. Vladimir Putin loses. Everybody loses. There is no winner in nuclear wars. So that's why we don't want like countries like Iraq and Iran to get nuclear weapons because they believe everybody losing is a good solution.
Right.
Because they're
going to
have their 40 virgins or whatever it is and live happily ever after. So.
Exactly. But I did. So here's another thing. If you could maybe enlighten me, in researching this thing, I heard that the war actually started because Ukraine sent a missile over to Poland and then claimed that Russia did it.
I had not heard that.
Another thing I've heard that he actually started the war. That Ukraine actually started the war by doing that.
Yeah, I can't verify or deny that. I have no
idea. Okay, so that's just maybe hearsay at this point.
Yeah.
But I do think that, because I did watch the interview and I watched what happened, and I do think that Zelensky was in the wrong because he had already agreed to the deal. He had come to sign the deal, and the press is there to say, hey, we're all going to get along. We're going to sign this deal. And then he starts picking apart the deal and trying to renegotiate it in front of everybody. And that's not the place.
No.
So I think he did that wrong. And I think that J.D. Vance, I like J.D. Vance.
Yeah.
I think that was great that he's like, hey, you know, a little gratitude could get you a little further here. Yeah. You should be thankful that we're even having this discussion with you. Well, like, kind of checking him. And I think that's great.
They're set to make a lot of money on this deal, Ukrainians, because we want to buy minerals from their mines. We want to put U.S. people in their mines to help mine these things. And they stand to make a lot of money.
Right. But, and that would offer them a barrier of protection because we'd have our people there so Russia wouldn't cross. So I think it's a great solution. But I really think that with... We've given them, what, $180 billion?
I heard 170, but yeah, same ballpark, either one.
So about that, and they can only account for 78 to 100 billion. So where's the other $100 billion
at? And we're not talking about million, folks. We're talking about billion. That's 1,000 millions.
Right. So I think that Zelensky is taking some of the money. He's putting it maybe back in the hands of some of the politicians that gave it to him. So I think that there's corruption
and
there.
And some of it's funneling back to the Biden family, maybe.
Yeah, of course. Of course it is. Yeah. So I think that there's a level of corruption, and if they stop that, then he stops his power because he is now has a war, so he's taken away their right to vote, which is another thing he's done. So I don't know. I think Zelensky's squirrely.
All right, we've got about 3 minutes left, though. We'll go to the phone lines. Doug, what's up?
Yes, I agree with what you just said. That's what I've been waiting to hear, that Zelensky, I bet you all the money that the U.S. has given him through this whole thing, I bet he's got a huge vault in his basement somewhere, just cash, stashed with cash. And he comes here thinking that he can, manipulate President Trump and the U.S. again to give him more money and to give him the NATO, the this and the that. He's just a kind of an agitator guy, it looks like to me.
Shady.
Yep. And as she mentioned too, anything that Trump does, the whole other side of the media, it's a bad thing. No matter what he does, it's good to them, it's bad.
Yeah, that's a good point. I saw a meme this morning, and thanks for the call, by the way. I saw a meme this morning. It was I stand with Ukraine. And then the guy's like, be honest. I stand with Ukraine. Come on, be honest. I hate Trump. Okay, that's better. That's what a lot of these liberals are saying.
I know.
He could cure cancer and they would be angry because they got rid of all those people that work in the cancer industry.
I know. And I saw, and I hate when people, celebrities come out and tell you what to do. Yeah. And I love Garth Brooks and I love Trisha Yearwood, and they came out with a video. We really need you to donate to Ukraine. Put your money. Dude, you have millions. Why don't you pocket a couple of your $1 million and send it over if that's what you want? Not people that are struggling to pay for their groceries and struggling to pay rents right now, asking for money for Ukraine. And also, sorry, you got me on a tangent here.
Ooh, here we go.
Okay. They, in Ukraine, on the front line, they have been taking able-bodied men, taking them out of their cars, walking their dogs, just kidnapping these able-bodied men and putting them on the front lines for Ukraine because they can't get people to come and fight the war because people don't want to fight the war.
It shouldn't be a war, that's for sure.
Exactly.
And I really believe our president and vice president want that war to end. They want peace.
Yeah.
There were no wars when Donald Trump was president the first time. No wars anywhere in the world. And we need this one to end. We need the one in Israel to end. And until that happens, I think it really bothers Donald Trump, J.D. Vance, saying, look, this shouldn't be happening. Let's all get along.
And more of the feedback from Trump and Vance's handling of Zelensky was, wow, we finally have somebody who's a boss in the White House.
Yeah.
You know what? This isn't how you act. You're going to get your hand smacked and you're going to leave without lunch. So go. Just go. You're not going to stay.
You ain't got to go home and get the heck up on out of here, right?
Exactly.
We're out of time. Mello, thanks for helping me out today. Marianne. And Dr. Blodgett, Mayor Randall, all due up this week. It's going to be a fun week on The Andy Griffin Show. Thanks for tuning in.